Blog Talk Radio.
Up in the morning, nothing will. Good morning, Donald.
Good morning, Mike.
And good morning, afternoon, or evening, no matter where in the world you are listening to our broadcast. This is Thursday in the octave of Easter, and we begin by prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, sacred is your word. Your kingdom come, your words be heard on earth as they are in heaven. Give us today your sacred word. and turn off my alarm. Forgive our neglect of it in the past as we forgive those who have neglected us. Lead us toward an encounter with you each time we delve into the scriptures. For your presence, your power, and your glory are ever present among us now and forever. Amen. Father, we beg your blessing for the right to life, the unborn, the weak, the sick, and the old, all who are finding themselves being targets of the vicious culture of death, that our Lord Jesus bless and protect all who stand up for the Christian dignity of persons. That God enlighten those who are traveling down death's highway by their involvement in any way with either the contemporary death culture, selfism, relativism, or any of the new isms out there and new ages of age eras of our times. That God envelop our culture with his divine protection and he help us both individually and as a nation to true enlightenment, conversion, and repentance of ourselves and of our culture. Help us to turn from our national sin of abortion and return to and once again become a Christian nation on the narrow road that is the path to becoming a nation and culture under God. Amen. And you have probably heard on the news just recently that the abortion pill is being made available, but with more restrictions. They shouldn't have it at all, but that's beside the point. I believe that your divine son became man and died for our sins, and that he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe those and all the other truths which the Holy Catholic Church teaches, because you have revealed them, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. Let us begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as though you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come before thee, I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me. Amen. 13, the octave of Easter. 1, Acts 3, 11 to 26.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, you want to put a song in there?
Yeah, right here. Yeah.
Amen.
As the crippled man who had been cured clung to Peter and John, all the people hurried in amazement toward them in a portico called Solomon's Portico. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people, "You children of Israel, why are you amazed at this? And why do you look so intently at us, as if we had made him walk by our own power or piety? The God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over at night in Pilate's presence when he decided to release him. You denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked the murderer be released to you." This is getting pretty close to home. The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead, and of this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name, this man, who you see and know, his name has made strong, and the faith that comes through it has given him his perfect health in the presence of all of you. Now I know, brothers and sisters, that you acted out of ignorance just as your leaders did. But God has brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and be converted, and be wiped away, and that the Lord may grant you time of refreshment, and send you the Christ already appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time of universal restoration, of which God spoke about through the mouth of his holy prophets from old. For Moses said, "A prophet like me and you will the Lord your God raise up for you from among his own kin, and to him you shall listen and all that he may say to you. Everyone who does not listen to the prophet will be cut off from the people. Moreover, all the prophets who spoke from Samuel and those afterwards announced that these days you are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant that God made with your ancestors when he said to Abraham, 'In your offspring all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' For you first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning each of you from your evil ways." Responsorial Psalm, O God, our God, how wonderful is your name in all the earth. For hallelujah. O Lord, our God, how glorious is your name in all the earth. What is man that you should be mindful of him, or the son of man that you should care for him? O Lord, our God, how wonderful is your name in all the earth. You have made him a little less than the angels.
Mike, are you there? We're going to get a surgeon song here.
He is a man who speaks his mind. His
He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything that was written about me in the law of Moses and all the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understanding the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Saint of the day. Oh, you're going to love this one. Hey, Don, it's the saint of the day.
Okay.
Time for Hartley's Heroes.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Hartley's Heroes. Here's Donald Hartley with his Hartley's Hero for today. Presenting from Deeper Truth, the Saint of the Day. They say that every dog has its day. Well, so does every saint. And when the saints go marching in, Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender, knows exactly who's going to be in that number. And he'll share them with you every day. That's the saint of the day for inspiring true stories of your everyday saint. Don't worry, they won't bite.
And don't worry, Don Hartley hasn't gone to the dogs. He's just resting his voice, so he's stuck with me again. St. Martin, Pope St. Martin I, born Toti, Tuscany, Italy, died September 16, 1655. Cherson crimes now, Cherson, Ukraine, day of April 13th. Pope from 649 to 653, St. Martin I, and St. Martin I is recognized as a saint and a martyr in both the Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox churches. When Martin first became pope in 649, Constantinople was the capital of the Byzantine Empire, and the Patriarch of Constantinople was the most influential church leader in the Eastern Christian world. The struggles that existed within the church at the time were magnified by the close cooperation of emperor and the patriarch. A teaching strongly supported in the East held that Christ had no human will. Twice emperors had officially favored this position, Heraclius by the formula of faith of Constantine II by silencing the issue of one or two wills in Christ. Elected Pope 49, Martin I, had gotten in trouble for refusing to come in silence in the face of wrong. At that time, there existed a popular heresy that Christ didn't have a human will, only a divine will. The emperor had issued an edict that didn't support monotheism at all, it was known, directly, but simply commanded that no one could discuss Jesus' self at all. Monotheism was condemned at a cult council convened by Martin I. The council affirmed that once again the two natures, human and divine. He had two wills, human and divine. The council then went further and condemned Constantine before the discussion, stating, "The Lord commanded us to shun evil and do good, but not to reject the good with evil." Shortly after assuming the office of the papacy, he did without first being confirmed by the emperor. Martin held a council at the Lateran in which the imperial documents were censured, in which the Patriarch of Constantinople and two of his predecessors were condemned. In response, Constantine II tried to and bishops and people against the Pope. In his anger at this slap in the face, the emperor sent his soldiers to Rome to bring the Pope to him. When Martin first arrived in Constantinople, after a long voyage, he was immediately put in prison. There he spent 3 months in a filthy, freezing cell while he suffered a dysentery. He was not allowed to wash or given the most disgusting food after he was condemned for treason while being allowed to speak. In his defense, he was in prison for another 3 months. Martin personally sat on a couch in front of the altar where the soldiers burst into the Lateran Basilica. He had come to the church when he heard that the soldiers had landed. But the thought of kidnapping the sick Pope from the house of God didn't stop the soldiers from grabbing him and hustling down to the ship. Failing in this and in an attempt to kill the Pope, the emperor sent troops to Rome to seize Martin and bring him back to Constantinople. Already in poor health, Martin offered no resistance when he returned with Galpus, the exarch of Constantinople, who was then submitted to various imprisonments, tortures, and the most torture already carried out. Martin was saved from execution by the pleas of a repentant Pope, the exarch of Constantinople, who himself was gravely ill. Tortures and cruel treatment having taken their toll, Martin died shortly thereafter. He is the last of the early popes to be venerated as a martyr. From there, he was exiled to the Crimea, where he suffered from the famine of the land, as well as the roughness of the land and its people. But hard is to take, the fact that the Pope found himself friendless. His letters tell how his own church had deserted him, and his friends had forgotten him. They wouldn't even send him oil or coin to live off of. He died 2 years later in the year 656, a martyr was set up for the right of the church to establish the faith of the imperial power. He was quite a man, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. And when you think about it, how the teaching of the church has developed to the lives of these early popes and the importance of that.
And it had to be defended. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And Jesus promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against it, the church. He also promised that he would be with
it
always.
That doesn't stop him from trying, does it? That doesn't stop him, that
no,
doesn't
it doesn't.
Stop him from trying, unfortunately.
That's why we thank the Lord for the lives of these great saints and our great leaders. And right today, we're praying for America. We're praying for our country. We're praying
I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you think, and it's a very short answer, do you think that Jesus, when he made his appearances after his resurrection, do you think that Jesus had the United States of America on his mind or on his heart or both?
Yeah, I'm sure it would be both. I'm sure, just as St. Peter said, when Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, and Peter said, you know everything. You know I love you. And what does Jesus say? He said, follow me. And so what does he say to us? Follow me. And so
there is
yes. A
translation of scripture, and I believe it's in 1 Corinthians where St. Paul lists the appearances of Jesus after his resurrection. One translation renders it that Jesus appeared to more than 500 people. Who makes our love?
Yeah.
More than 500 people gathered on a hill.
And we're part of that.
Absolutely.
And I got a song here that kind of fits you and I and all the deeper truth and the whole church. Tell me what you think of this.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, quite a song.
It's a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Mike, we pray for all those who are addicted, who are suffering addictions of all kinds. We pray for those who are suffering addiction, who are oppressed, who are under attack. So we pray for those who are in most need of our Lord's mercy. We pray for ourselves. And we thank you,
amen to that.
And we thank you, Lord. Help us heal. Help us heal. And I hope my voice is getting stronger. I hope.
A little bit. A little bit. It's going to take a while.
It's going to take a while, but we just want to be on the right track. And Mike,
you're
thank
on the
you
right
so
track.
Much this morning. And thank you, Mike. And so,
anytime.
And so maybe tomorrow morning, same bad time, same bad station.
I think we can do that.
All right, well, I'll call you later tonight. God bless you.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, I'll end with this song right here, which kind of goes with everything.
Okay.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God. When we're looking for, is this the Lord? What's going on? What are my priorities? This is what Scripture tells us to do. And this is in the context of Jesus saying, don't worry about what you're going to wear, all these other things. Usually our prayer requests would come in like, Lord, I need this. Here's all these things that I need. And his direction, his call to us is seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then the Scripture says, your Heavenly Father knows you need all those things, and he will take care of you. So I'd like us to close singing this together. Seek you first. Live by bread alone.